Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Under the theme of welcome to the neighborhood, I thought I'd give you a little quiz about neighbors. The first one was, for a number of years, PBS featured a program that was hosted by a guy who would take off his cardigan sweater and his dress shoes and put on his sneakers, and they begin singing that song that you know so well. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? Remember that? Who was that? You're wrong. It's Coach Riley. Now I'm going to give you some other famous couples or individuals, and tell me if you know who their neighbors are. Dennis the Menace. Mr. Wilson. Darren and Samantha Stevens from Bewitched. Yes, Abner and Gladys Kravitz. Jerry Seinfeld? Kramer. Laverne and Shirley. Lenny and Squiggy, can't you remember? Fred and Wilma Flintstone. Barney and Betty Rubble, good job. The Jeffersons before they got their own show. Archie and Edith Bunker. How about Ricky and Lucy Ricardo? Fred and Ethel Mertz. How about Tim the Two Man Taylor and his wife, Jill? Wilson Jr. I'm not kidding. Simpsons? Ned Flanders. And Sheldon and, is it Leonard from The Big Bang Theory? Penny. Good. It's not hard to understand who people's neighbor are when they're on all the time, but what we find in today's gospel lesson is a person of the law who had absolutely no clue who his true neighbor was. A preacher I recently read implied that the question of the neighbors was kind of a burning issue in those days. The law clearly commanded that the children of Israel were to love their neighbors as themselves. So this lawyer wanted to justify himself and to really find out exactly who his neighbor is. Why? What difference could it make? Well, he wanted to know who he had to love, or better yet, who he didn't have to love. See, for a Jew, a neighbor was those who were near or a fellow Jew. There was even some for the Qumran area that excluded everybody as being a neighbor unless you were part of their small little sect. This lawyer wanted Jesus to draw a circle around him to define who's in and who's out. He wanted to know exactly who he had to love. And that's where we get the parable of the Good Samaritan I read just a few moments ago. Jesus said there was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back. Now you begin to ask the question, but Pastor, there is no one in our day that would act like the priest and the Levite and see a man suffering to the point of death and not stop to do something about it. Well, perhaps you've never heard of a little gal by the name of Kitty Genovese, we'll pronounce it. 28 years old, the manager of a bar in Queens, New York. She drove home to her neighborhood, and where she parked, it was in across the lot that was adjacent to her house or her apartment building, and there's a 30-foot walk across that vacant lot to get to her building. She begins walking. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, obviously, and when she goes, she sees a gentleman walking towards her. And so she turns and tries to make it a half a block to the police call box there on the corner. But he caught her before she got there. And he began to stab her. She cried out for help, and lights in the apartment building nearby went on, and someone opened their window, and a man yelled out, "Let that girl alone." Well, the attacker heard it, and he walked away. The window closed, the lights went off, and he came back and attacked her again. This time she screamed, "I'm dying, I'm dying." This time the windows opened, more windows, and lights went on. And the attacker got into his car, leaving Miss Genovese to crawl along the street to her apartment building. Somehow she managed to get inside. But the attacker came back a third time. And he found her on the floor at the foot of her stairs, and he finally succeeded in killing her. The three separate attacks took place over 35 minutes time span, but not one of her neighbors came to her aid. After the third attack, someone did finally call the police, and they arrived within a couple of minutes, but she was already dead. Her neighbors were interviewed and asked, "Why did you do nothing to help?" And they simply said, "I didn't want to get involved." Jesus, in our parable for the day of the Good Samaritan, he defines some neighbors that are not very neighborly. See, his command is we're to love our neighbors ourselves. We're supposed to get involved in the lives of those who are in need of our assistance. By the way, that incident happened in 1963. But there's others more recent. 65-year-old man's walking down the street and he steps on a manhole and it literally tips and dumps him into a 5-foot hole and he can't get out. And for 45 minutes, people are walking by above, but no one stops to give him a hand. Outside of Washington, D.C., there was a car accident. A man was laying helpless in the road. And two men stopped to give aid, but they didn't have a cell phone. So they're trying to wave cars down so that someone could call for help. And motorists were gesturing with fingers that are inappropriate and honking and yelling and crying out all kinds of foul things. Yes, people do act that way. But why is it at times that we don't want to be a neighbor? We don't want to help those in need. You know, as I thought about this week, I think I came up with three fairly good reasons. One of them is that we don't think of those people as being our neighbor. After all, Pastor, they don't live in my apartment building. They don't live in my retirement home. They don't live on my block. I don't know them. They don't go to my church. They're not a part of my social club or work in the same building I do. If I don't know them, then they're not really my neighbor. Well, in this parable, the Good Samaritan, neither the priest nor the Levite knows the man lying on the side of the road. But then again, neither did the Samaritan. And he stopped to help. It's been several years ago, a news report about an incident where a crew was excavating on a job site. And during the excavation process, one of the banks caved in and buried a number of the workers in the hole below. Of course, rescuers came and people began to furiously dig. And there was a gentleman, Jim, that had stood over behind the barricade that they'd set up and just casually watching the rescue operation. And then a voice came from the window that said, "Jim, your brother's down in the hole." Well, instantly Jim stripped off his coat and began digging frantically. Why? Because before, I don't know who those people are, and I really don't care. But now that I actually know someone in the hole, I need to get involved. Well, to help define a neighbor, our God in Leviticus 19 describes a neighbor as one of your people. Your neighbor is one of your people. So the majority of here are Caucasian, so I guess it's only white people. But then he goes one step further, the alien living with you. Guess who that is? That's everyone else. See, one of the things that amazes me about this particular congregation is what I hear from visitors that come here. It's been a few, probably about a year ago or so, I had a teammate from college come and he worshiped because his son was down here for a bowling tournament or whatever, and he snuck out and came and worshiped with us. And he was overwhelmed by the number of people that approached him not only before but also after the service. And he said, Jeff, you know, the amazing thing was, is they greeted me not with, hi, welcome to Emmanuel, and walked away. They sat there and wanted to carry on a conversation and get to know who I was. He told me later that he had called his pastor and told his pastor that we need to be more like Emmanuel because they welcome people. My dear friends in Christ, that's what a loving neighborhood looks like. Opening your arms up to no matter what the issue is, perhaps it's an addiction, perhaps it's just downtrodden, perhaps it's poor decisions or whatever it may be, but standing side by side and loving them because you know what? When I look into the mirror of God's law, I am no different from you. So the first reason at times we don't love our neighbors, we don't know them. You've already started to think about the other two, haven't you? And the second one I think is probably pretty huge is we think they'll take advantage of us. We are on a block that has a liquor store on the other end. There are homeless people by here quite regularly. At times I wonder if we're not a mission church. And at times it's really difficult because you think if you give them anything, it's going to go to drugs or booze or whatever else they want. At this church, we rarely give money to the needy. The fact of the matter is that if you need groceries, we'll call the Lutheran pantry and we'll actually deliver a box of food right to your door. In the past, if you needed gasoline, we'd get you a gas voucher and we'd have you go down to the gas station to put some fuel in your car. If you needed a utility bill paid, we would chip together and make sure that it happened regardless of if you were a member of this congregation or not. It's been a little while ago, but the planning council made the decision that we would no longer financially provide funds to people outside of our congregation. There was only one vote that dissented that decision. Just Friday, I received a call from a young woman in tears. By the sound of her voice, she was young and not very experienced at taking advantage of people. And she had an electric bill that needed to be paid, and I needed to tell her that we couldn't help her. I gave her a few other options that she could try, but I felt helpless as I hung up the phone. Because I'd been dealing with this text all week, and I saw in her face the man beaten by the side of the road and me walking by on the other side. As I read the gospel lesson for the day, it really struck me that the Samaritan didn't give the beaten man money at all. Did he? He gave it to the innkeeper. And the innkeeper provided for the man. I don't read in the text anywhere where it says the man was worried that he would take advantage of him. He just had compassion and wanted to help him in any way he could. But there's times we don't help because we don't know him. And other times we just think they're going to take advantage of us. But there's a third reason. We are just selfish. Someone once quoted the passage and said, yeah, love your neighbor as yourself, but you need to learn how to love yourself first. I've never read that in Scripture anywhere. It just simply says, love your neighbor as yourself. And Lord knows we love ourselves. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, it says the fact that to love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. For after all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it as Christ does the church. Oh yeah, we care for ourselves. Yeah, let us walk in a room filled with people and a huge mirror on the wall. And we see all the faces around us, but what face do we look for first? Our own. Go home and you'll look at a picture on the wall of aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, children, all that, and a big family reunion. But who's the first face we look for? We look for our own. See, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he talks about a priest, a holy man, and a Levite, part of the same family. who go up to the far side of the road and they go all the way around him because we cannot be bothered with this man's tragedy. I don't know him. He could take advantage of me. And quite honestly, I've got problems of my own. I started to ask the question, who's our neighbor? Who's our neighbor? The more I thought about it, it depends on where you see yourself in the parable. If you see yourself as the man who is naked before God in the ditch, then it's the Samaritan who's your neighbor. Jesus himself is called a Nazarene because he grew up in the city of Nazareth, right? Guess where that's located? Samaria. In your case, Jesus is your good Samaritan who comes to you. You who are stripped of your clothing, that is naked and ashamed, unable to stand before God because of all of your sin. Now the law can't help you. The priest and the Levite go by on the other side of the road. They're no help at all. But he and only he had compassion upon you and he bandaged up your wounds. He shows mercy. He pours oil and water and washes you in holy baptism. See, the truth is in the earliest times, it associated anointing oil with baptism. I didn't know that until this week. And then he began to pour on wine of the holy blood of Christ into you in the blessed sacrament of the altar to give you strength and enrich you. And then he takes you to the end, to the church. And he tells the pastor, take care of him. Giving him 2 denarii, which stand for baptism and the Lord's Supper. Kind of a cool picture, isn't it? He says, be faithful and encouraging the pastor to be faithful in ministering to him. And he says, I'll come again and I will repay you. As you read through this text, it was only days or just a matter of a few short weeks of the encounter with the expert of the law that Jesus would be the one who would be stripped and beaten and crucified. Jesus would truly show what a good Samaritan is because he loved his neighbor as himself to the very point of death, even death on the cross. He suffered and died for you. He demonstrated his love for you while you were yet dead in your trespasses and sin. He refused to walk by on the other side. He had compassion upon you. And this morning he reaches out his nail-scarred hand to bring you healing for your soul. Because perhaps this morning you feel a little bit like the man in the ditch, beaten and bloodied. And at times it seems like no one cares. This morning I want to welcome you to this neighborhood where brothers and sisters in Christ care about you. Where we have a Savior who has shown His love by dying in our place. Welcome. Welcome to our neighborhood. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.